Hello, and welcome to another edition of a weekly devotional. As usual, I am your host, DKOB. Today, I will be discussing with us what I will call greatest of all time. Greatest of all time. Paris Saint-Germain, that is, a football club called PSG, is one of the most influential football clubs in France and world football. However, they got acquired by a wealthy Arab empire in the year 2011. And one of their objectives was for the club to dominate Europe by winning the European Champions League. With an unlimited budget, they have over the years been able to sign the best players in the world with very juicy wages above so many other clubs. But all through these 14 years, they've never been able to win the Champions League. The best they got to was the final. Eventually, they were able to buy three of the best players on the planet. And these three players are three generational talents. They are among the greatest of all time. They had Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe, three generational talents. And when this occurred, people were convinced that they were going to dominate world football. They were going to win the Champions League. They were going to be unstoppable. But however, this was not the case. Instead, what happened was that the egos of these players dampened the morale of the team. So there was some form of rivalry among the three great players. Rivalry on pedigree, rivalry on game time, rivalry on the number of goals scored, rivalry on their wages. And this made PSG to degenerate from a cohesive team to a splinter group with individualistic talent. It was just a group of footballers who were very talented individually. They were not able to reach that objective of winning the European Champions League. So the whole arrangement collapsed and the three players had to leave the club. Eventually, a new coach was hired, and what he did was to assemble and hire a crop of young talented players between the ages of 19 and their early 20s. They had speed and skill as their qualities, but yet they were not popular. They were not world-class superstars. You know, they weren't known as popular footballers, but these were young people who had hunger. These youngsters had hunger for the game, a passion for the game, and they were ready to listen to instruction and deliver according to instruction given to them. And they began to work as a cohesive unit. There was unity, there was harmony. There was no sense of anyone being more important than the other. They all fought for the common cause of the team. And guess what? They won the 2024-25 Champions League. And they are presently at the verge of winning the Club World Cup if they maintain their performances. Now, why did I bother to tell you all these stories? This same scenario plays out today in the body of Christ. We have Christians who have this notion that they are more special than others because of the special gifts, the special endowment that God has put in their lives. And at times it could be that we're tagging some people as more special than others. I recall several times people saying that heaven pays more attention to some people more than others. Why? Because these men have special gifts of healing and the miraculous and signs and wonders, and they lead large congregations. They are popular TV evangelists, so our conclusion is that heaven pays more attention to them. But we must listen to what the scripture says about this topic. In Romans 12 and verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me," Apostle Paul talking, "to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has given to each one a measure of faith." He says here, the implication is that we should not exaggerate ourselves above what God has ordained. We shouldn't lift ourselves up. We shouldn't lift up any man higher than what God has ordained. We shouldn't exaggerate who God has made us to be. It says in that portion of scripture, everyone has received a measure of faith, meaning everyone is equally important. Everyone has received this grace from God. Like the team I illustrated earlier on, we're meant to function as a unit with each part equally as important as the other. We must be humble and not see ourselves as being more relevant than other members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ." The human body is diverse, but the parts are in harmony with each other. So also is the body of Christ. We must learn to put on the cloak of humility and avoid thoughts, speech, and actions that imply that we or any member of the body of Christ is a superstar over others. Church leaders should discourage this trend that nowadays there's an emphasis on titles. Pastor this, and Reverend this, and Apostle this, and Prophet this. You know, the emphasis on the titles. We shouldn't give those with a special grace more attention than others. Now, I'm not against whoever or whichever gathering chooses to use titles, but I am saying that we shouldn't allow this to take a stronghold on our relationships with each other. We shouldn't allow it to introduce some form of pride. 1 Corinthians 8 and from verse 1 to 3. "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge." Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge makes you to swell up with pride. Like when you put yeast in dough for bread, it swells up. It says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. I don't care how much you know, how many scriptures you know, how much of revelation you have. The only thing I care about is how much of the love of Christ flows through you. Verse 2, "And if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet, as he ought to know." 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 says, "For who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" The Bible says all that we are, all that we have, we received from God. There is no room for boasting. Everything about us is of Him and not us. Our talents, our resources, our gifts, our graces, they are all of Him. Therefore, we serve all people with love and a cloak of humility. Luke 17 and verse 10, Jesus said, "So likewise you, when you have done all things which you are commanded, you will say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" I know of so many Christians who boast. They boast, oh, I've preached to thousands of people. I have a congregation of 100,000. I have the largest building in this country. I am this, I am that. I've been able to raise so many people from the dead. I was talking to a friend some days ago. We've not spoken for a long time, and he was like, I had an encounter with God, and very soon, just wait and see. The world is going to see the unveiling of a champion. I'm about to be unveiled to the world. These are boastings which Christ discourages. We are meant to say we are unprofitable servants, and we've done what was in our duty to do. So, when they had the best players on this planet, they were not able to win this tournament. But with young, committed, and talented players who were ready to go all the way, and they were submissive to the cause, they have become champions. As long as we all humble ourselves, as long as we make ourselves available to the Lord and abandon our self-interest and egos, the body of Christ will always experience triumph and victory on the earth. But when we lay emphasis on our titles and how gifted we are and how better that we are than others, we will never win. This is the word of the Lord for this season. We must condescend. The Lord is looking for available vessels and not just able vessels. He's more interested in available people than able people. Thank you very much. You are blessed. If you heard me and you have questions, you need a miracle, you need counseling, you can reach out to us via email info@project-charis.org. info@project-charis.org. Thank you very much.